Bodybuilders. It is true, some of us need to hit the gym, or at least take some more walks, maybe. But that is not the message I bring you today. Recently, I've been preaching about our Christian identity, and so my purpose this morning, beloved, is to impress upon you that we Christians are called to be bodybuilders. We're members of the church, which is the body of Christ. The church grows properly when all the parts of the body build up each other with the word of Christ. Let's now give our attention to his holy and living word from Ephesians 4, starting at verse 1. This is God's word. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Thanks be to God for his word this morning from Ephesians 4. Loved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ and friends, do you know what you are as a Christian? Many believers get focused on how they are supposed to live as Christians, focused on all that they're supposed to do. But they lose sight of what they actually are. They might even forget whose they are. Christians belong to Christ because he ransomed us out of our sin and misery. He purchased us to be a people for God. You heard it from Revelation 5 earlier this morning. He purchased us with his own precious blood so that we would forever belong to him, belong to God the Father, who graciously adopts us to be his holy, beloved children in Christ. That's what we believers are. Beloved children of God in Christ. And nothing you ever do will cause that love of God to diminish the littlest bit, or grow the littlest bit. Isn't that marvelous? But of course, as God's children, we are to grow. Christians generally understand that we grow by means of the word. What is less appreciated among Christian people is that we are parts of a body, and that these parts of the body grow properly. The whole body of Christ properly grows when all of the body parts, each one of us, is living as a bodybuilder. All of us looking to build each other up with the word of Christ. Our theme today, friends, our Christian identity is shaped in community as members of the body grow in the word together. Once more, our Christian identity is shaped in community as members of the body grow in the word together. The same word that gives us new life in Christ is that word which nourishes our souls. It's the word that deepens our understanding about spiritual things, strengthens our faith, makes us fruitful in godly living, which is why we ought to crave the word like newborn infants thirst for mother's milk. And it is why you should prayerfully read your Bible each and every day as though your life depends on it. Because brothers and sisters, listen, your life in Christ, it does depend on it. So if you want to know your identity in the Lord Jesus and you want to grow up into that identity by the power of His Spirit, you are going to be serious about getting into the Word. As Paul says in Philippians 2:16, holding fast to the Word of life. But the Bible makes it abundantly clear that this is a group project. Christian identity is really to be shaped in community, in the church, the body of Christ. Dear saints, it's a fundamental aspect of our Christian identity to be, each one of us, a body part, knit together with all the other parts of the body, all of us serving as bodybuilders. Now, let's not misunderstand the task, okay? It does not mean that we create the body. Paul says in our passage, there is one body, and that is because of the grace of the triune God. Will you notice in our passage, beginning of chapter 4 again, Paul's saying, he wants us to understand this calling of God on our lives, that we are His people, we're to live in a manner that is worthy of that great calling He has given us. And Paul explains how we should live. He says in verse 2, with all humility, with gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And now notice verse 3, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. My first point, friends, a rather simple one right from these verses, we can maintain the unity of our church community only by the grace of the Trinity. We can maintain the unity of our church community only by the grace of the Trinity. Paul urges us to love each other in the church so that we will enjoy united community, right? Peaceful, loving Christian fellowship one with another. Not an easy thing to do. We need to put on humility, says Paul. If we are to have united Christian fellowship, we need humility because our sinful tendency is proud exaltation of ourselves, right? And you know, when we live like that, friends, in terms of Christian fellowship, it means we're going to stomp on one another in our proud effort to get to the top. And that damages the body. We need humility, you see. Paul goes on to say we need gentleness because the sinful tendency for some of us is to speak a strong word, and the word might be right, it might be utterly true, but if that word is spoken harshly, it hurts people, hurts the body, does damage to the church, right? We need to put on patience for united Christian fellowship because our sinful tendency is to become frustrated with the failings of others. And then we shut down and we pull away. And that also hurts the body. Hurts members of the body. Tears down rather than builds up. Look, if you pursue meaningful community, if you, beloved, are practicing true Christian fellowship in the local congregation. Now, test yourself. If you really are connected to the body, you're going to develop closer relationships with people in that local assembly of Christians. And yes, often the result will be precious encouragement through the mutual loving exchange of gifts, right? But of course, meaningful fellowship will sometimes result in real friction, conflict in the local church. Paul does not have in mind some hippie utopia. The church is a community of sinners who need to bear with one another in love. It's hard work, but listen, it is not the work of making the body ourselves. We don't make it. It's not the work of creating the church, as if that were in our power. Dear saints, the church has unity already. This is why Paul says that we are to maintain. We don't create the unity, the oneness of the church. We are called to maintain that unity we already have. And again, we have it because of the grace of the Trinity. One true God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, these three persons are God and Savior. They have done all the work, not only of saving us individually, but also of uniting us with God and with one another in the body of Christ, in the family of God. And I have to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you don't already know, this is actually the very unifying gospel message of Ephesians 1, part A and B, of Ephesians 2, part A and B, of Ephesians 3, part A and B, right into Ephesians 4. If you're not familiar with it, it is the overwhelming theme of the book of Ephesians. The awesome, even cosmic unity that God is working in Christ. Chapter 1, verse 10, he states it explicitly. Here's God's plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in heaven and on earth in Christ. And so you might think back with me to chapter 1 of Ephesians, where Paul tells us the Father, though he knew we would be totally unlovable sinners, he set his love on us and chose us to be his children, to adopt us in Christ Jesus. And then Christ, who is the Son of God, loved us so much that he humbled himself, and we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins through his blood, right? He became true man, sacrificed himself to pay the full debt of our sin, reconciled us to God the Father once and for all by that bloody sacrifice on the cross. Praise God. Redemption accomplished. Then Father and Son, gets even better there in Ephesians 1, and you read it in Ephesians 2 as well, and right on into chapter 3, Father and Son poured their love into our hearts, giving us the Holy Spirit, who made us spiritually alive, and yes, brought us to faith, and united us to Christ. Bad. The Spirit also unites us one to another, members of the body. This is God's work. That's what I'm really trying to impress on you today. This is the work of the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It is this work that makes us the church and gives us our unity, all of grace. Beloved, it can be hard work walking in love with each other in true Christian fellowship, but we can do it. We can maintain our unity in this church community because of the grace of our triune God, who first loved us, redeemed us, united us with God and with each other, and is now, by the Spirit of Christ, renewing us day by day. But let's remember, the Spirit works through means, and again, his primary means of saving and sanctifying grace is the Word, God's living Word. And so you'll notice what Paul goes on to say here, verse 7. Would you read on with me? Verse 7. Grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended, this is from Psalm 68, when Christ ascended on high, he led a host of captives, so he's victorious, finished his great work of redemption, and then notice, he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth, or he descended into the lower parts, namely the earth. Verse 10, he who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. There's that theme of reunifying all things in Christ. And verse 11, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. My second point, beloved, Christ, our head, grows his church body primarily by means of his life-transforming word. Christ, our head, grows his church body primarily by means of his life-transforming word. The unity of the church is a gift of God's saving grace, but we are to grow in that unity. Maintain the unity, and it's to grow stronger as God's children have fellowship with one another. Maintain that unity that is already ours in Christ. That's the call here. We're to grow more like Christ, more gentle and humble and patient and loving, so that we will live out our unity, so that we will practice being what we really are. But Paul tells us how that growth happens. Jesus is the chief bodybuilder. He saved us by his word of grace, and that's what creates the body, his church body. By means of that same word, Jesus continues to give us grace for the body's growth. Clearly, what Paul is explaining here in our passage. You know, today when Christians think of God's word, the first thing that probably comes to mind, the written word, right? The Bible. For very good reason. What does Paul say to Timothy? 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God. It's his very word. Profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. What a blessing to have God's living word in our hands. Do you treasure that blessing? I mean, you just think about that for a moment. What is the Bible? This is the living and powerful word of Almighty God. What a treasure to be able to hear him speak to us through the scriptures. Oh, how Christians would grow more joyful, grow more fruitful, if they would take up this book more often and prayerfully read it, so that we might feed by faith on Jesus, the bread of life. Are you feeding? If you're going to grow, this is the chief means of your growing in Christ, feeding on him by the word. But you must know, beloved, the Lord's design is not that we grow primarily through private reading of Scripture. I don't want to take anything away from private reading of Scripture. I want to commend the practice to you as heartily as I possibly can. But Christ grows his body primarily by means of his life-transforming word as it is proclaimed to you by others. So Paul reminds us that after Christ descended to earth where he accomplished salvation, then the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven and gave gifts to men. And you'll notice, what gifts did he give to his church? Verse 11. He gave apostles to his church. He gave prophets to his church. The evangelists he gave. He also gave to his church pastor teachers. Why? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. The body grows by means of the word, especially as that word is proclaimed to us by others. In the first place, by those who have been ordained in the church because they've been equipped by Christ to proclaim the word, to explain the word and apply it to your lives, right? So that all of you body parts will be, each one of you, equipped to work. The proclamation of the word to equip you to share the ministry. You using all of your various gifts to build up other members of the body. This is not a matter of growing fat in the head with Bible knowledge. Okay? The word of life is transformative. It changes you and me. Christ grows his disciples by the power of his Spirit, using the word to change your thinking, to change the affections of your hearts, to change the very character of each Christian, to change the course of your whole life. transformative teaching. You know, we call it sanctification, but if we are to grow in the right way, beloved, we have to keep the ultimate goal in mind. And Paul tells us what it is explicitly. Verse 13, here's the goal: until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Not just to know about Jesus, but notice, maturity. To mature manhood to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. You know, some people in the church, they want orthodox doctrine. They want sound teaching from the Word because they want to be right. And they want to be right much of the time. You've seen it, I'm sure. They want to be right because then they can shine as those theological hotshots whose job in the church it is to expose all the dummies who have not yet arrived. Beloved, that's not the goal. It's not the goal at all. Yes, we need sound teaching so that we will not fall for all of the lies out there pervading our culture. The devil's deceitful schemes are deadly. Yeah, we need the word so that we would be strengthened to turn away from all the falsehood and all the temptation out there in the world. But see, God wants you to be taught the truth for the transformation of your whole life. Is that what you seek? In hearing the Word, reading the Word, reflecting on the Word, praying through the Word. Is that what you want? Christ by His Spirit to transform your entire life and character. Because that's what your God is after. The Word is meant to grow God's children out of immaturity, grow us up into the maturity of our elder brother. And so, beloved, we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. He's the great goal. And He will form us into His likeness by the power of His Spirit. But notice, through the transformative teaching we get from His Word. Do not imagine that this transformative teaching comes only through the church's pulpit ministry. You body parts are equipped by the Word for the work of the ministry of the Word, which you all share together. You have to know this. You're equipped by the Word, yes, as it is proclaimed from this pulpit, so that you all might share in the ministry of the Word, speaking the truth one to another. And this is the work of bodybuilders. We're all sharing that ministry. We will properly function as bodybuilders when we are all of us speaking the truth one to another in love, as Paul says. Notice the end of our passage, verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, who's speaking it? Not just Paul, not just ministers of the Word, pastors and teachers. All of us speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint. Notice the emphasis. Every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. My third and last point this morning, beloved. Christians properly grow as body members, okay, body parts in the church, by speaking God's word to each other in love. Christians properly grow as body members by speaking God's word to each other in love. Paul really does mean that each and every one of you is engaged in the Christian ministry. He mentions joints and ligaments. You may remember the passage, 1 Corinthians 12, where he mentions ears and eyes. Weaker body parts and stronger parts. In 1 Corinthians 12, he mentions presentable parts and unpresentable. Every believer is some part of the church body. If you have new life in Christ, the head of the church, you also have life together as members of His body. And just like parts of, you know, your physical body, the parts of the body take care of other parts, so also in the church body, each part is equipped by the Holy Spirit with some gift that is to be used for caring for other members. And Paul's very emphatic about that in 1 Corinthians 12 in particular. He's really trying to guard the church from any sort of division. Notice what he says. I quote from 1 Corinthians 12:25. God has so composed the body, the church body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. Be careful if you're lacking honor for some part, because that very likely is the part God means to honor. Greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Well, of course, the thing to do now, beloved, is to figure out what spiritual gift the Spirit has given you. And so after worship this morning, please make your way to the fellowship hall where you can take the Enneagram personality test. And there will be a spiritual gifts assessment. And then when you get through those things, the elders are going to be able to know exactly where to put you to work. It's not going to happen today. I'm kidding. But dear Christian, it is important that you believe God's word. And understand that you have been gifted as a bodybuilder in order to care for other members of the church body. And they have each been gifted to care for you. This is how Jesus cares for his body, the church. Your loving service one to another, yes, is the way Jesus cares for you. So then let us all care for one another, exercising our gifts for the proper growth of the body. And yes, there are various gifts, and Paul will list a lot of gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, and he'll list some other gifts in Romans 12, other passages where he talks about the body, the church body. In Ephesians 4, he doesn't go through all of the gifts. He lists a few of them. They're the ministry of the word, there in verse 11 in particular. But he really tells us there's one gift that we've all been given, and it's a task that all bodybuilders have. And it is to share the word with each other in love. So in verse 15, he says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into him who is the head, into Christ. See, we Christians will properly grow as body members only if we speak God's word to each other in love. And let me conclude this morning by emphasizing this point, that you would go away asking yourself, really more importantly, praying today and spending time with the Lord and soaking up the word and savoring the word and ruminating on the word, that it might dwell richly in you and yes, then come out of you. I want to leave you this morning with consideration of that ministry you all share. Yes, the ministry of the word. Because that's where Paul ultimately goes here in our passage. Think about it. It is enough for a disciple to be like his teacher, right? Matthew 10:25. Jesus says it's enough for the servant to become like his master. So if Jesus, our master, loves his body, he loves every member of his church body, by speaking the truth to us, you and I are to grow into his likeness so that we speak the truth to one another in love. This is not merely a matter of speaking any and all truth to one another, although that's important. Paul will even go on in this letter to talk about putting away lies and speaking truthfully with one another. Being honest is absolutely crucial for Christian integrity and faithfulness. Lies are of the devil, the father of lies, right? So yeah, we can kind of generalize this and say, we are really to be speaking all truth with one another and no lies. Certainly that's true. But Paul, in our passage, is especially thinking about speaking the truth of God's word with each other. And if that is not so clear in our passage, let me ask you to consider a couple of lines from the book of Colossians, which is actually a really nice parallel letter to Ephesians. In Colossians, Paul summarizes his whole ministry. In Colossians 1:28, he summarizes it like, he kind of describes it like this. It's proclaiming the word of Christ, right? Him we proclaim, warning everyone, and mark these words, Colossians 1:28, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. If you're thinking about how people in the family of God, how the children grow up into the likeness of their most mature and perfect elder brother, Jesus, it's through the word. So Paul's teaching everyone with all wisdom. in order that people would be saved through the word of the gospel, but also by that word built up and growing into conformity with Christ. And you say, well, yes, Pastor, that is obviously Paul's job. He's an apostle of Jesus. He's a pastor teacher. He's a missionary, an evangelist. And that's your job, Pastor. That's what you guys do. You're ministers of the word. That's what you do. True, but listen, brothers and sisters, you are to be equipped by that preaching of the word that you would then bring the word one to another. So what does Paul go on to say in Colossians 3:16? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom. Exact same language he would use for his word ministry in Colossians 1:28. Exact same words he uses about your ministry, one with another, in the body of Christ. Bodybuilders, using the word, speaking that word in love one to another for your mutual edification. Christians properly grow up in Christ not only by receiving the word, but also by sharing the word with one another. I conclude by connecting all of this with a passage we read in Philippians 2 earlier this morning. Paul says that if the gospel ministry is not to be in vain, we all have to hold fast to the word of life. But you see, we have to do it together. We all need to hold that word out to each other, building each other up in love with the word of Christ. It's that word that gives us life. It's the word that trains us to live new life in Christ, our head, into whom we body parts will properly grow when we engage carefully in transformative teaching of the word, speaking the truth with each other in love. Even now, may the bread of life feed us with himself, and so equip us bodybuilders to love each other with his word. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.